This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Today, a very interesting three-part conversation for you. Sociopaths. Now, we talk about them quite often because, well, they're a lot of the people that we focus on is being hidden killers on these programs. But it's rare that we're not talking just about them, but we're actually talking with them. Oh. Our guest today, M.E. Thomas, very interesting author of the book Confessions of a Sociopath, A Life Spent Hiding in Plain Sight. She is someone who has been diagnosed as a sociopath and shares her experiences of life living with this. Obviously, she's not a dangerous one, or she hasn't done anything dangerous yet. I don't think she will. But she argues that they're not inherently evil and can be productive members of society, almost a superpower when it's not going down a dark path. Let's start there, M.E. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell me how this journey began for you, recognizing some of the symptoms, and then how you eventually got to writing about this.
So I think it's not, we use the word sociopath or we use the word psychopath a lot, but I don't think it's kind of obvious what it means. At least it wasn't obvious to me, I didn't know as a child, but I always knew that I was different. I mostly thought, I guess, that I was probably maybe just more intelligent or maybe a little bit more mature than my peers. I felt like I was always like a few steps ahead of them.
Yeah.
And so it mostly just manifested itself as what appeared to me to be an advantage. It took, decades for me to see it as anything but an advantage, because in teenage years, it was still an advantage. People were losing their minds during puberty. And I just did not, I just kept cool.
Yeah.
And if anything, I really thrived, during those years in my early 20s, in college and in law school, I really thrived. Again, I remember avoiding the library and even the law building at all during finals because people were just like crying at their desks and studying. And I was just like, I don't get it. And then again, graduating from law school, taking the bar exam, the same thing. I took the bar exam in a big conference center and it was gigantic, but you could hear crying like the whole time while you're taking this exam. But I just did not understand it. I just thought this is kind of crazy that people act like this. And luckily, I just don't. I guess I thought, maybe I'm a good public speaker or I take tests well, because I would just not get nervous. I just wasn't like really emotionally rattled by kind of anything at all. And then after a while, though, I started to realize I wasn't personally engaged by anything at all either. And I realized that a lot of my behaviors were just trying to run away from boredom. Because if I wasn't kind of personally engaged with anything, then, what was the point of doing anything? There was kind of an existential angst underneath it all. And that is eventually what led me to see it as a disorder. But I didn't know, the word sociopath or the word psychopath applies to me until actually in law school. I shared a internship, shared an office with another law student, and we didn't have enough work. It was like kind of one of these like made up jobs for like legal students. So we're busy like 30% of the time. The rest of the time we had to be there, though, still just in case, FaceTime. And so we just chatted a lot, and after like weeks of chatting, and I think I just thought I'll never see this person again, so I can just be honest and open. And after weeks of chatting, she was like, you may want to consider the possibility that you're a sociopath. So I looked it up, and this is kind of like, early 2000s internet. And there was like one site that kind of had a summary about what a sociopath was and had the checklist from Cleckley, Hervey Cleckley. And then I think had like the PCLR checklist, and I kind of looked through it and I thought, this does fit.
What were some of the things, some of the specific traits that you had noticed? I know you're talking about others, crying and really being affected by the stress of taking those exams and such, but what were some of the other things as well? Were you, if I'm terming things incorrectly, always interrupt me. You felt like the emotional connection there, that the empathic connection that others may have, that you didn't seem to have? Was it interactions with family or personal, interpersonal relationships as well?
Yeah, it was all of it. I think, my family, and it's funny now kind of talking about it, because at the time it just felt like that was the only thing I knew. So it felt normal to me, so it is still weird a little bit to like self-reflect back on those times and try to remember what it felt like to be that way. But I can remember what my family said about those things. Like I got kicked out of the house, several times by my parents who were like, we cannot take you. And my siblings used to say that I would engage in like total war tactics when it came to like even just fighting over toys. Like I would just take it to such a dark place, where it's like scorched earth is another word that they used, where it's just like the whole thing is coming down, and I liked violent games. We skied and I love to ski, even when nobody else would want to go skiing with my dad, I would always go skiing. It was such a great outlet. And we would use the ski gloves to like play boxing games. Mm-hmm. And I had like two older brothers, but I was just like loving it. I even loved to be like hit in the head. I loved the way I felt that like feel my brain rattling around. It was just like, I really loved like the physicality of it. So yeah. I think people called me like tomboy. And I think that applied to a certain extent, but there was just kind of like so many quirky things. I haven't seen the Netflix show, the Wednesday show, but I imagine it was kind of like that, like I'm just not connecting with people emotionally. I'm not even in tune at all, basically, with my own emotions. I'm having like very, very low effect, I think is what they would say, no kind of emotional reactions at all, really. Fearless in kind of like a creepy way, especially for like a little girl, going off and doing whatever, whenever. And I think people, again, nobody would use the word sociopath. And although I did have troubles with authority in school, I was so smart that I think they kind of blamed the teacher. They were like, well, what are you doing wrong that you can't somehow engage this very smart girl? Like I think the gender too really helped me. It was like, obviously I'm misbehaving, but because I'm a girl there, and especially kind of when I grew up in the 80s, it was like, well, like she's just a girl. What do you want to do with this? You can handle it.
Sure. I mean, it's just so fascinating to hear someone who recognizes this in themselves and to get their perspective. The way you look at things, I'm trying to understand that. When you're talking about not having emotional feelings, is that accurate? I mean, do you have, if you were to say something upsetting to someone inadvertently, just not realizing it, is that the same sort of emotional reaction as to like, I'd like to order chicken nuggets from McDonald's? There's just not is this kind of the same baseline emotional feeling that you have where neither really make that much of a difference?
Yeah. So I think they're kind of like two aspects of it. One of them is, my interpersonal relationships, like how much did I realize that I was like hurting and tormenting the people around me?
Sure.
And some of it I was really truly oblivious to. Like I had one of my friend's dads come up and say, hey, my daughter really loves being your friend, but can you stop doing the following bad things? Hitting her, like saying terrible things to her, like, et cetera. And, when that happens, that the dad is intervening, to kind of be like, my daughter who enjoys your friendship or whatever, you guys get up to great shenanigans, is still very troubled by many of the behaviors that you manifest in the friendship, that, stuff like that would happen all the time. Now, my own emotional world, I think it's inaccurate to say that I didn't experience emotions, because sometimes I would, but it was almost as if they came out of nowhere, like totally out of context. It was like experiencing my own emotional world was like reading a book backwards, or like trying to like look at, Egyptian hieroglyphics and like kind of get like an idea for what's happening. I mostly felt it as physical symptoms, like I would have at the time felt like hunger and anger were kind of similar feelings, because I felt them mostly in my body.
Mm-hmm. So when something, let's say some sort of a tragedy, you know, comes about, whether it be something, you know, to you where a loved one dies, for example, do you feel, you know, sorrow? Do you go through the stages of grief and things of that nature when a trauma type occurs? Or is it not so much? It's just like, well, it's part of life. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. The latter. And I was so disconnected even from my own traumatic events that happened to me that sort of famously I write in the book that I was not abused. Uh-huh. Now I can go back and look and see like, oh yeah, you know, I guess I thought those things did happen to me, but I wasn't bothered by them.
Okay.
That I think was my kind of belief at the time of writing the book. You know, so I was disconnected from all traumatic events, my own, the traumatic events of everybody, you know, and the same thing with the emotions. I was disconnected from my own emotions. And so I was totally disconnected from the emotions of other people too.
So is this something that you believe was triggered by some sort of a trauma in childhood?
I think so. I mean, so I kind of use the example, I had a brother who like, we did everything together. Like we had basically the same childhood. Now we're not twins, obviously. We don't share the same genetics, but we do share a lot of genetics, right? Mm-hmm. But he turned out so differently than I did. He turned out to be hypersensitive, you know, very fragile psychologically. Like since he's gotten, you know, he went to therapy and stuff like a little bit later in life. And, you know, now he's great. He's really stable and stuff. But just the way that we both responded to kind of traumatic events that happened in our childhood, mm-hmm. Seemed to suggest to me that there really is like a nature nurture thing, yeah. You know, that my genetics got triggered by the trauma and his genetics got triggered. And then we just both ended up very different places from the same trauma.
Mm-hmm. As you, you know, try to function in life, where you obviously are functioning well in life, you are very accomplished and very intelligent. Do you feel like you personally now, do you want to feel more interpersonal emotions and things between relationships and such? Is it something you can learn to do, or is it just a lot of mimicking and kind of parroting? Okay, here's how people react. I'm kind of taking social cues then and then implementing them as best you can, so it doesn't stand out as being, you know, heartless or something of that nature.
Yeah, definitely until I would say, you know, shortly, maybe a few years after the publication of the first book, it was the latter. I was just mimicking. I was pretending. I was passing. I was, you know, trying to connect to people in somewhat sincere ways, but, you know, really did not have the skill set to be able to do that. And so sure. I would run into relationship problems all the time. You know, they'd find out that I was masking around them all the time and that my true self was, you know, something quite different than what they thought I was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was very destabilizing, I think, to relationships kind of over time. And after a while, I thought, you know, the one thing that I wished that I could do is to stop manipulating people.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even feel like I had the option. You know, I felt like the only way that I kind of knew how to interact with people, the only way I had learned, I guess, growing up was to manipulate people. So then I started seeing a therapist and that's what I told him. I said, I want to learn to stop manipulating people, just turn it off and on, yeah. You know, at least. And his kind of response was, well, okay, to stop manipulating people, you just have to be yourself. You know, you don't act to try to persuade people or to kind of influence them or to try to get them to do something, just act and choose from a place of your own internal preferences, rather than trying to constantly micromanage the reactions of other people with your actions. And that was good advice, except I just did not know how to be myself. Uh-huh. You know, I did not know what to replace that with. I had disconnected so much from my emotions, my own preferences, even my own sense of identity. As a result, probably of like early childhood trauma, maybe even as a baby, you know, yeah. I had a kind of a tough time as a baby that I just was not aware that I was a person, really.
Yeah.
I was, you know, it's a personality disorder, you
sure,
know,
sure.
It's
yeah.
like there's some disruption, there's some problem with the way that you relate to yourself, with the way that you understand yourself. And my problem was that I just had a very weak sense of self at all. And so when my therapist would be like, don't you know, the answer to manipulating is just to be yourself. I really had to spend years and years to figure out what it meant to just be myself.
Is it something that today you are much better at, there where you are able to succeed in those areas and have those sort of feelings?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not an easy process.
Yeah.
And it's kind of terrible, actually. Like, I kind of call it the reckoning, this period, if you go through it, you know, in which you're kind of re-engaging. It's worse than adult braces. It's like a second puberty, except worse.
Okay.
It's because you're finally connecting with your own emotions. Yeah. And it's, you don't know how to process these emotions. You never learned because you never had them.
Yeah.
You know, so like when children are trying to learn to emotionally regulate, you know, like they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old or whatever, all during that time period, they're learning all these skills about, you know, I'm angry, but I'm not going to hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And so you have to relearn that, I guess, or learn it for the first time because you never learned it. And so it felt terrible. You know, I felt like a slave to my own emotions. I felt triggered all the time. I felt, you know, like I was out of control. Like I felt like I couldn't predict my emotions. I couldn't understand them. So it was like years and years of just trying to like learn how to emotionally regulate. But now I do connect with my emotions, and I guess I do connect with the emotions of others, but I still don't feel like what people say affective empathy, where you like see someone crying and then you yourself are sad. You know, like I still don't feel that.
Sure.
But I do sneeze when other people sneeze. I don't know if that's a thing.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
There is much more to come with M.E. Thomas. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of this conversation. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B. Pod. We'll keep diving into the mind of an actual sociopath today on the program. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.